So on top of the scripture that Canon Bracken just read, this is John 17, towards the end of the Upper Room Discourse. That they may all be one, even as you and me, Father, for you're in me and I'm in you, and they also may be in us. Think about that. You and me and I in you, and they be in us. I in them, you in me, verse 23, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me and did love them even as you have loved me. Verse 26, now I've made your name known to them. We'll make it known that the love with where you love me may be in them and I in them. And the scripture I read to those of you going through the weekend earlier, this great, amazing scripture talking about the day of Pentecost when our union with Christ began by the filling of the Holy Spirit. In that day, you will know, you'll experience, is the word, that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. Again, John chapter 1, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father. That's just the language about the most intimate place in the depths of the heart of the Father. He has revealed him. Some scriptures. This is Romans chapter 8. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the Spirit, or the Spirit of adoption, as sons, we cry out, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4. So I'm going to make all this make sense in just a minute. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who are under the law. He became human to redeem humanity, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, the spirit of his son. Jesus is Abba, Father. That's what we get to participate in. Grafted into his sonship, the spirit of adoption. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir through God. Jesus said we're co-heirs. Because if I've been grafted into his sonship, and I have his Abba Father relationship with the Father, then all the favor that's on him is on me. Oh yeah, I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing on Christ is on you because you're in him and experiencing the Father's love for you the same way the Father loves him. Again, Jesus sharing with you the Father's embrace, the Father's affection. He's brought you in to that fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the Father. Crazy. Amazing. People say, well, I just don't feel very loved. Really? Do you not know who you are in Christ? And therefore, here's some cool stuff. This is the part I'm after. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus is our peace. He's our peace with God. Jesus is my peace with God. The Father is at peace with Jesus, right? And I'm in him, therefore I'm in peace with the Father, the same peace the Father has with Jesus, he has with me. pretty crazy. But now in Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near through the cross. He himself is our peace. And he came and preached peace to those who are far away, Gentiles, those who are peace, those who are near, Jews. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. We have his access to the Father. We have his relationship with the Father. I love Romans 6:10-11. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and living to God in Christ Jesus. His relationship with the Father is yours. His walk with God is yours. So, example of mine, we were talking this minute ago, like somebody might say, well, I've just not been a very good husband. You weren't created to be a good husband. You were created to find the ability to be a good husband in him. There's a difference. You're not trying to be a good husband for him. You live through him. Well, I don't think I've been a very good wife. So? I mean, our consequences, but I'm saying you're trying to be a good wife for Jesus. Jesus is living his life in you. He's the only one that can do that through you. You were created to experience that. You were created to enjoy that miracle, that wonder, that supernatural life. So you can be a wonderful wife and a wonderful husband, a Christ-like one that manifests Christ-like character, Christ-like nature. It says in chapter 3, verse 11, this is in accordance with the eternal purposes of God, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through his faith. Huh? I have bold and confident access to the Father because through his faith. You see, my confidence lies in the fact that I'm one with him and he is confident in the Father's presence to approach the Father. So we mentioned this at some point. Some point in the process of yakking, we mentioned this. Verse 19 of Colossians 1, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, although you formerly were alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he, by his grace, has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. In order to present you before the Father holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Beyond reproach means I can't reproach you. I can't condemn you. You're beyond it. That he might present us before the Father holy and blameless and beyond reproach. But he doesn't present us as a separate person. He presents us in his person, his holiness, his blamelessness, him being beyond reproach. There is no condemnation in Christ because he, Father, doesn't condemn Jesus. Does he convict us of righteousness? And in doing that, does he convict us of things that we're doing, where we're messing up? Yes, because he hates sin because sin's so self-destructive. But in terms of your right standing with the Father, in Christ, you're holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And you say, oh, I hate being what I am. Then stop being who you are. You're a new creation in Christ. Who you hate is not who you are anymore. You can live like it, but you don't have to. And don't try to be what Jesus wants you to be. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Stop trying to be what you think Jesus wants you to be. Jesus is living in you as your life. He's your life. He's your life. He's prepared to be in you and through you what you long to be. Because that's who he is. Because if you're trying to be what you think Jesus wants you to be, you're still cast the burden on yourself. And that's what he came to rescue you from. not just from sin's penalty, but from sin's power to save you from self-effort. He doesn't want you to do your best for him. He wants you to experience his best through you. He wants you to stop trying to love people with all your heart. He would love for you to be able to experience you loving people with all of his heart. Okay? That's normal Christianity. I'm trying to get okay, Bishop. He's already okay. Just surrender to him. He's okay. He's never not okay. Things may not be okay, but he's never not okay. But you don't know my story. I know his story in you. And your life is now his story. Your history is now his story. He's renamed it all. Okay? He's not about condemnation. He's about transformation. He came a long way to transform you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.